It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of God again this morning, and I greet you in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. It's blessed by the Sunday school lesson this morning. Psalm 11 and Psalm 16 both start out in the first verse indicating that David is putting his trust in the Lord. Entitled my message this morning, Trusting the Lord. Trusting is something that is necessary for every child of God. And as David mentioned this morning in the opening about resting is relinquishing control, I think trust does that same thing. It allows for someone else to be in control. I don't need to be in control anymore. It's okay for someone else to control. The text passage I've chosen is Luke chapter 12. I invite your attention to that. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. And I might just mention, to start with, there are two main items that Jesus refers to, and that is food and clothing, and how we need to trust God for these things. And later on it says that the nations of the world seek after those things. They put a lot of emphasis on it. And I would welcome input from you on how the focus of the world has impacted us as a church. I would welcome some input, so think about that, and later I'll open it up for that. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse 22, it says, Take no thought for your life. I think the NIV has it. Do not worry about your life. Life is something that we value, we hold dearly. We do what we can to sustain life. It's part of us. But here, Jesus is encouraging us to don't worry about life, that he will supply our needs. And remember, as I mentioned earlier, trusting God to provide those needs relinquishes control. It allows another one. It allows God to be in control. When you're out of control of your circumstances and you get all unglued about it, I think that's an indication of a lack of trust in God. We like to control the circumstances, how things operate around us. But God would call us to trust. And as was mentioned earlier this morning, the weather, is something that we do not control. Sometimes it may feel like we'd like to control it a little bit, but it's out of our realm of control to control what the weather does. And it's okay. I'm thankful that we don't control it. We can trust our provider. And so when you're not in control and you become all unglued about it, I think it's important that we stop and ask the question, am I really trusting the one who is worthy of our trust? Allow him to be in control. Job 13:15, he makes the statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That's a pretty strong statement. God can strike me down, but I still will trust in him. Trusting is allowing someone else to be in control. And then it goes on and says, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. God has given us life. He has given us clothing. Or he has given us life and he has given us a body. If God can do that, don't you think he can do the lesser of that and provide food for life and provide clothing for the body? Yes, indeed, he is able to do that much better than we are. And then he goes on and says, consider the ravens. Look at the birds. Look at how they operate. They don't have a big cache of food for the winter. There are some varieties of birds that might do some of that, but most birds live day by day. They go out after a night, daylight comes, and they go out and they find food for themselves. And God provides for them. And he says, you're more important than the birds. God will take care of you. We are created in God's image. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying here, go act like a raven, go act like a bird. I don't think that's what he's saying, but he's saying, learn a lesson from the birds. Learn how to trust, and God will provide. And I don't think God is saying, don't provide for the future. There are other scriptures in Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And maybe I'll just turn to those verses quickly and read a few of them. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Just an encouragement, you know, we have seed time and harvest, and I think God expects us to work with the seasons and to provide what we can. But it's important that we remember we can do what we want, as much effort into producing food, but it is God that gives the increase. And to remember that food is a gift, and the ability to grow food and to harvest it and to store it is a gift from God. We are dependent on him for sustenance. In verse 25, the word stature here, the way I understand it, can be translated two ways. Some of your translations probably have it referring to age. You can extend your age, your length of life. In the King James, it's referred to as stature. And you know, we'd say it's foolish to sit down and if we think enough about it that we can increase our stature or increase the length of life. A lot of people who spend a lot of time thinking how they can preserve life and extend it, and they worry about it, often actually shorten it. Worry takes away length of life. Be content with who God has made you. For me, there are periods of time when it would have been nice to have that extra cubit. But God made me the way he did, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm content to be a bit on the short side. And I think being content with who God has made us is a part of trusting. We don't need a lot of extras to try to be someone who God has not made us. Be content with who God has designed you to be. And then it goes on, and he tells us to consider the lilies. I understand over in Israel in those days, the lilies was a very common flower. For us, it might be, consider the dandelion. Go look at a dandelion. Look how it grows. And if you look closely at a dandelion that is in full bloom, it is a beautiful flower. Sometimes as we look over the lawn and it's something we don't like and it doesn't look very attractive, but it's a delicate flower made intricately. And Jesus says, look at the flower. Solomon, all the effort he put into dressing up, says he wasn't arrayed as intricately or as lavishly as this little dandelion flower. God's designs cannot be superseded. It's a short reading here in the Calvary Messenger from July of 2010. Talking about flowers, says, God has caused the flowers to bloom at certain specified times that Linnaeus, the great botanist, once said that if he had a conservatory containing the right kind of soil, moisture, and temperature, he could tell the time of day or night by the flowers that were open or closed. And so God designed your different species of flowers to operate differently. In Ohio, we used to, deal with morning glories. And they would open up first thing in the morning, a beautiful blossom, but it was a noxious weed, almost in the bindweed family. And then we had the evening primrose. In the evening, the primrose would open up and show its beauty. And then there are moonflowers, ones that wait to open up until it's getting dark. And God has designed the different flowers to operate differently, but they're all created uniquely and special. And God is saying if he takes that kind of interest in the flowers, in his creation, surely he'll take care of us who are created in his image. And so if you get stressed out and you worry about issues of life, I encourage you to take a little time. Go observe some flowers. Go look at some birds and see how they operate. And it can put life back into a proper perspective. In verse 29... it says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. I think here he's just simply saying, don't be preoccupied with food and drink and clothes. God will provide for your needs. And in this passage, it talks about food and clothes. And Paul later addressed that in writing to Timothy. I'll be reading a few verses here. Talks about those supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I think it's really hard for us to understand what a verse like that is saying. Food and clothes. Can we even relate to only those two basic needs when we have so much in excess to those basic needs? It's hard for me to relate to it. But I think we need to be careful. The next verse says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I think sometimes, subconsciously, maybe sometimes consciously, we tend to accumulate things to provide security for ourselves. And it takes the place of trusting in God. When we place our trust in things, then our trust is misplaced. And I think we will be among those who will be drowned in materialism, in destruction and perdition. God has given us things, but let's use them to build his kingdom, not for selfish purposes. In verse 30, it says, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." So we have food and clothes, and we say, they are basic needs, and they are. But Jesus is warning, don't be preoccupied with these needs of life. And the world puts a lot of emphasis on these things. Look at an advertisement from a department store. A significant portion of those advertisements are taken up with advertising food and clothes. And I would like to have some input from you. How has the pressure from the world affected us as a church in these things and how we view food and clothes? I would just welcome you to share what some of your thoughts are. Has it affected us? Would we acknowledge that it has had an impact on our lives? I think so. See some heads nodding. Well, how has it impacted us? Sometimes hard being content with just the basic things of food, rice and beans and, Rosa? Back there, not very well. Basically saying that recently she saw a cookbook where so much of the foods were geared towards cream cheese and sugars and the things that make food taste good, but not really that meets the needs of the body. Is that correct, Rosa? Okay. Daryl.
I think recently.
Thank you for that. Paul. For us, we deal with providing for the cattle and so on. It's not really a concern at this point of actually enough to eat for ourselves. Any other input? Conrad. Very good. Sam? Eating out has been a big thing. Well, thank you for that input. I think in the area of food, the way food has been advertised has changed the way we eat. We are geared more towards things that taste good and the texture of food rather than actually thinking, now, what is food that I need for a healthy body? And I think also it has had an effect on the clothing that we wear. I would welcome your input. I'll share a bit of what I observe and how clothing has impacted us, and I, maybe in during time of testimony, I would welcome any correction or additional comments. I just wrote this out. It says, I believe it's having its impact on us as a church. I see more trimmings, ruffles, decorative buttons, ribbons, etc., than I saw 9 years ago when we moved here. Are these a result of a closer walk with the Lord? I'm afraid it is the result of worldliness within the heart, finding outward expression. When we make or buy clothing, ask the question, does this reflect the glory of God, or is it to draw attention to self? When we seek the approval of people, that's where our security or trust lies. People will disappoint you, so don't seek their approval. Seek the approval of God. This Calvary Messenger also, in July 2010, just had a short article written by a Janet Yoder from Lott, Texas, entitled Courage or Cowardice. The other day, while I was shopping, an older lady came over to me and wondered if she could ask me a question. I said, sure. This was her question. About 10 years ago, my son moved to another state. There's a Mennonite church in his community. All the ladies dressed like you. They wore these long dresses and they were very different from the rest of the world. 3 weeks ago, I went to visit my son and I was shocked at what I saw. The ladies are wearing these short skirts and low-cut blouses. It seems like they're trying more and more to fit in with the rest of the world. So I would just really like to know, is this what's happening in your churches these days? If you people give in to the ways of the world, well then, the rest of us might as well not even try, because we'll never make it. And so let's remember that people are watching us, and the more that we identify with the world in the way we dress, it is simply an indication of what is in the heart. And so let's be careful. In 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4, speaking specifically to the wives, but it is addressed, I would like to address it to both sides of the house this morning, says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And I think the more that we focus on extra trimmings, extra ornaments on our clothes, it militates against that meek and quiet spirit that God is looking for. So let's be careful how we dress, how we view these things. Back in Luke chapter 12, it doesn't leave us with what we shouldn't focus on, but it gives an answer to what we need to focus on, and that is the kingdom of God. In verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we seek God's kingdom, he will provide for our needs, our clothing, our food. And so let's not be overly preoccupied in those things. Invest your resources in the building of God's eternal kingdom. Those investments don't go bad. It was mentioned about the drought. Sometimes we face situations that look big to us. And being involved with agriculture, with a small dairy, you know, the feed situation, I face those things, and sometimes it looks like, you know, Lord, what shall we do? And things look big. This past week, flying back from New York, as you were flying, one time they announced at 32,000 feet, you know, from up at that level, you look down, you can be flying over mountains and hills, but they don't look like big obstacles. But from land, you see them as pretty big obstacles. And in the same way as we face life, we look at situations that look big to us. But let's remember, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven. He is up there, and as he is looking down, these situations don't look big to him. They're very manageable. And as we trust him, he will give grace that we can go through these difficult times. And so, when we tend to worry or be being concerned about these small things of life, remember, God wants to give us the kingdom. Can you imagine a king's son being worried about if he's going to have the next meal when he is the heir to a vast kingdom? And in the same way, we are heirs to a kingdom. He will supply our needs. In Hebrews 11, I'd like to look just briefly at the life of Abraham and how he exercised trust. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." That was an act of trust. And I don't think it was an easy decision of, okay, God tells me to go and just flippantly go ahead and went. I think it probably was something that Abraham struggled with, but God, how does this work out? But he went in obedience. And I would say trusting is not always the complete absence of fear, but it's moving ahead in obedience in spite of the apprehensions and fears that you have, where trust is greater than the fear you're experiencing, and we walk in obedience. It's a quote that I came across, I'm not sure who wrote it, says, "Don't be afraid to go out on a limb for God. That's where the fruit is." Now, sometimes we refer to the going out on a limb as someone's becoming unbalanced and just sort of, you know, we write him off. He's out on a limb. But here is simply saying, I think, be willing to go out of your comfort zone for the sake of God. And that is where fruit will be produced in your life. Later on, in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." It says he was tried. This was a tough thing for Abraham to do, to offer up Isaac. His life's ambitions, his dreams, and the child of promise was bound up in Isaac. And God asks him, place it on the altar. I'd like to sing that song, "When We Walk With the Lord," two verses of that. Verse 2 says, "But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay." That speaks of trust. Abraham laid it on the altar. Isaac, his ambitions, his dreams. And it's important that we come to the point where we are willing to lay down our ambitions, our dreams, and say, "God, I commit them to you. I sacrifice them to you." When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Closing, I'd like to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses that are familiar to us, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I think many of us have thought already of the impact that our ancestors have had on our lives. And if you look at history, 4 or 5 generations back, if one of your ancestors would have turned their back on following Christ, your life would likely be very different today. The decisions that we make today have an impact on generations to come. We don't know them, the Lord does. And it's important that as we make decisions, that we trust the Lord for direction, for guidance, because we don't know the far-reaching effects of decisions that we make today. Maybe it won't impact our personal lives in some small decisions that much, but it could have ongoing ripple effects, generations. And so let's trust in the Lord with all your heart for wisdom and for direction. Shall we kneel in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you that you are the provider. You are the one who supplies all our needs, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And Lord, we can safely put our trust in you. Just thank you for the church here. Pray that you would help us to draw closer to your heart, to be more Christ-like in the way we think and the way we act and relate to each other. Lord, we choose to trust you. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.